Hello.
It's from space, and it's alive!
Everything with horn.
Yeah. Hello.
Everything-a-thon.
Everything-a-thon. Everything-a-thon.com.
Indeed.
Everything-a-thon, volume 125. May 2012.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome to the stage.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the boarding house is 100%.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Steve Martin.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, to open the show, I always like to do one thing that is impossible. So right now, I'm going to suck this piano into my lungs. Okay, let's get started.
Nice to see you in a red shirt, right in the front. That's class. I never entertained a Mountie. $40 million Americans, I gotta get a dummy Mountie right here in the front. Hello, dummy. And he waved to me yet. I said, hello, dummy. And he went, he knows me. I'm a Mountie. Nice night, huh? I was upstairs laying on the bed thinking about the moves I was going to make with the wife. She was in the other room with a Pepsi bottle going, wah, 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 wah. Weirdo, weirdo, shakes Pepsi bottles to get me in heat. Oh, get horny when you're up here, you know what I mean? Mexicans, you never fool around with the wife, right? You're too busy laying on the floor fixing the mud so it don't cave in. They never fool with the wives, the Mexicans. They're walking around the house going, turn on the television. Turn on the television. But if it weren't for you people, we'd never have filth. Which is a good word, filth. No, I kid. Henry, you're a wonderful Mexican, really. I'm a Jew and you're a Mexican. I say this from my heart. A Negro can move into my neighborhood. You can't. Don't make it a rally, you dummy broad. What the hell's the matter with you? You want the Mexican to come over to your table and get the runs? It's only a joke, Mexican. You're the chosen people. We're wrong. Look at the size of him, lady. He just lays on you and you die. Look at this. The lady went, would the Mexican lay on me? Anyway, gang, the old Jewish lady got in heat when she heard the fat Mexican was going to lay on her. Anyway, gang, the hell do you think's going to happen? You won't have any kids. A taco falls out. don't you find this funny, Mexican? Or do you want to go back to your old job in the arena? Get your pillows. Get your pillows. Found him in Tijuana on the border. Remember? Walking around with the kale pectate running out of the underwear. Takalelo makela kalelo. Takalelo makela kalelo. They drink that water, you know. They get the runs and we use them for the highways to make the white lines.
I'm going to talk to you about driving because I've had my problems and I must tell you about my problems driving. First of all, in different cities. In Los Angeles, who puts up the dip signs? Out here. Does it make sense to put up a dip sign 2 inches before you get to the dip? You're driving the car. So what's the sign? The sign says dip. If you want to help somebody, put it after you hit the dip, you know?
You just hit a dip. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I've been lucky enough this year to travel a lot outside of the United States, and it's something you should do when you get the chance. I was in Italy. And I'll tell you, for those of you who haven't been there, Jesus Christ is big there. I mean, I should have suspected that, but more big than I even imagined. He's everywhere. He's got pictures. They've got fucking photos. They have photos. He's in every nook and cranny of Italy. He's like the Coca-Cola of Italy.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you should know the etymology of how I got to Europe in the first place, which is fascinating. I was appearing in Greenwich Village at a coffee house on Bleecker Street called the Integration Bagel Shop and Free Parlor. I was the master of ceremonies on the bill, you know, and I was on with weird Greenwich Village acts, you know, myself and an Eskimo vocalist who sang night and day 6 months at a time, you know. A little blonde girl who had a child by a future marriage, you know. Adorable. And in walks one night Mr. Feldman, a producer, and he just adored me on sight. He thought I was attractive and sensual and good-looking, you know, and just made for motion pictures. He's a little short man with red hair and glasses. And he asked me if I ever wrote anything before. And I have been a television writer for years, and I wrote a three-act verse tragedy about a veterinarian faith healer who restores speech to a parrot, you know? I also wrote a short story about my first year of marriage, which Alfred Hitchcock showed interest in for a while. And he flies me out to Europe, absolutely all expenses paid, TWA flight, you know, movie on the flight and everything. Irene Dunne in The Life of Amelia Earhart, you know, it's like, what are you? Sitting shaking on the plane, you know. And I meet a girl at my European analyst's. I have to explain this. I was going to a European analyst, and that meant a European boy could see my analyst for 6 months, you know, in a neurotic exchange program. And I invite her up to my hotel. I get all ready for our dinner date. You know, I anoint myself completely. I beat my body with olive branches. You know? And I throw an amber light on me to make me look really effective. And two little backlights to give me the illusion of three dimensions. You know? The baby spot to pick out the brown in my eyes. And I put on my mood music records, you know, my Arthur Godfrey Hawaiian music. She had invited me over to her place, but I didn't want to lug the lights and everything, you know, so. And, oh, I didn't dress properly. This was partially my fault. I know how to dress better now, but I was not a good dresser a short while ago. You don't wear argyle with dark blue. I had on dark blue socks and an argyle suit, you know. I look like a farmer, you know. And my radiator breaks, and the hotel room is absolutely freezing. And I'm ashamed, you know, because she's going to come into a cold room. So I go into the bathroom, and I turn on hot water in the shower, which is an old Brooklyn trick to heat the apartment. And hot water comes down, and billows of steam come into the living room. And ice cold air is seeping in under the windowsill, and the two fronts meet in the living room, and it starts to rain in my hotel room. I'm standing there in the rain, and I did not do well with the girl. Europe, for me, as a matter of fact, was a series of near misses. I was at a cast party with our cast, and I was in the corner, and I was playing the vibes, very sexy, like a jazz musician, really up and down. And a great girl comes up behind me, but really elaborate, and she says to me, "You play vibes?" I say, "Yeah. It helps me sublimate my sexual tensions." She says, "Why don't you let me help you sublimate your sexual tensions?" So I figure, great, you know, here's a girl who plays vibes. I turn quickly and ask her out for a date, but Peter O'Toole, who's in the movie, asks her out first, aces me out, you know, and she was a beautiful girl, so I said to her, "Could you bring a sister for me?" And she did. Sister Maria Teresa. It was a very slow night, you know. We discussed the New Testament, gentlemen. We agreed that he was extremely well-adjusted for an only child.
Now, in San Francisco, it's a different story. In San Francisco, they have these hills that have got to be the worst hills in the world to build a city around or in or on. It's fantastic. And it's not, it has nothing to do with shifting gears or anything. It's just that these hills are fantastic. They go straight up and straight down. And even with a high dramatic, I've worried at times. I've gone up to the top of some of these things. You get up to the top and the car's still going up. And you say, where's the land, for crying out loud? That's the only time I've ever stood up in the car. Where the hell's the land, for crying out loud? And then when I did go down, I went straight down like this. You know, you guys said, put the brake on. Are you crazy? The back of the car, flip over this way. And the insurance company won't cover you if you've had a head-on collision with a hill. I'll tell you that right now. They built a street up there called Lombard Street that goes straight down, and they're not satisfied with you killing yourself that way. They put grooves and curves and everything in it, and then they put flowers there where they've buried the people that have killed themselves. Yeah. Lombard Street, wonderful street. So, I had this Volkswagen, a guy lent me a Volkswagen. Now, I don't get along at all with a clutch. That's all there is to it. You don't even have to look for my car if you want to tell if I've been there. Just take a sniff and smell the clutch, that's all. I'll burn out a clutch in a minute. And first gear is not my best friend in the world, that's all. I get the hiccup, you know. And, second gear is not too bad. Third is great. Once I get in the third, I'm not shifting back for nobody. That's all. I'll run over a guy before I have to go back into first gear again. Forget it. Boy. So I'm driving around the city, and I had to take this hill because they put up a detour sign. So I said, well, if I'm going to take this hill, I'm really going to take it and get right over it, boy. And I gunned up the motor. Ah, 20, 60, 80. Brrr, I get up to the top. I'm ready to go over. I look to the right. Somebody put a stop sign up at the top of the hill. And I said, you got to be kidding. Nobody in his right mind puts a stop sign up at the top of a hill like this. I figured the city didn't do it. Some nut went out to the Army-Navy store, bought himself a stop sign, he's got a spyglass, looks through it. Look, Martha, we caught somebody down there. So I'm caught, and I put the brake on. And I know if I'm in a hurry, I'm going to lose my right leg because all the blood's draining down to my hip. And I figured the time it takes me to get off of the brake and get to the accelerator will have drifted into the bay. And if you die that way, they won't let you into heaven. You go up, you see St. Peter, says, how'd you die? Me and a Volkswagen drifted backwards into the bays. You go to hell. So I said, I better give it a try. I look in the rearview mirror. Now there's a car behind me. Well, I don't want this guy to know I can't drive. So I said, come around, idiot, come around. He can't hear me because he's busy telling the guy behind him, come around, idiot, come around. They caught 13 million of us on that hill. And we all made an agreement. We put on the emergency brake and we turned it into a used car lot. That's all we did.
We're having some fun, though, aren't we, kids?
How many people are here tonight? Raise them up. Good. Okay, this is it. Still $4 to get in? $4?
That's not bad, though, you know, $4 in today's world with inflation and all that. It's like nothing. It's like, gee, I got $4. I think I'll throw it out in the street. Oh, I can come in here for $4? Okay. What happens?
See, this is not Las Vegas, you know. This is, in Las Vegas, it's $15 to get in. You know, it's worth it because there's, you know, there's a million people on stage and everything's moving real fast and you can't understand a word they say, but it doesn't matter. And you just sit there, you go, wow, look at the tits.
I'll bet there's 57 tits.
But this is $4, you know, it's like, rambling,
rent a car. Yeah.
And the opening act in Vegas is always like a pop singer, you know. And they bring him out, and he's really good, but he moves so fast, he's got to, because he's got like 15 minutes, he's got to get it all in. They introduce him, you know, ladies and gentlemen, this stands with Dallas Pub to introduce Mr. Johnny Duke. Let's bring him out. Hey, thank you for having me. Let's bring him here. How many people have to say? Okay, you do it. Hey, brother, two times, I'm in Wisconsin. Hey, thank you for coming. I'd like to introduce the band, Biff, Tom, Jack, hey, Bill, Dylan.
Colonel, add the laser. We got nothing to hypnotize. Okay, thank you. It's been happening a little bigger than my little girl.
I'd like to do a couple of gambling jokes for you. Because I gotta be me. I gotta be me. Okay, Sammy Davis Jr., personal friend of mine. Okay, now I'd like to do a little dancing for you. Here we go.
It's impossible to put a Cadillac in your nose. It's just impossible.
possible. Okay, now we've got a couple of gambling jokes for you. Okay, the hills rely with the sound of money. Thank you.
I was taking this flight from Vegas to Burbank. It's a 40-minute flight on Southwest. I take it a lot. And the flight is a rock polisher. It's all turbulence. It's terrifying. And one day, we're taking the flight, and we're landing. Seats up, seatbelts on, can't get up. And a guy next to me started doing something. And when he began doing it, I realized, I've never seen this done. He used a vomit bag. Because usually on a plane, you've got a throw up, you're like, oh, I'm gonna throw up, and you go use the bathroom. We're landing. He can't get up. And I realized as he started doing it, he must throw up every flight. Because this guy was the Zorro of vomit bag users. He was amazing. He was sitting there. He had a magazine on this leg, and he's reading it. And you see it hit him. And he never looked up from the magazine. He reached up with one hand, grabbed the vomit bag, snapped it open with one hand. Whack. Fitted it over his mouth, made a soundproof seal. Then started violently throwing up, but it sounded like this. Finished, took it away from his mouth, wiped his lips as he did it. Oh, amazing. Sealed the little metal tabs, folded them with one hand. I'm sitting here, he's holding up here. He transfers it to this hand, very polite, away from me, and just held it up for the rest of the flight till we landed. And he filled that bag. Like he could have stopped a mugging with that thing. It was a brick in a purse. Like, and I was just like, I was watching him, and I just kept thinking, what a horrible thing to be great at. Like, that's his thing. Some guy like, hey, look, I know I'm getting old. I'm not the best looking guy. But some girl sees me shoot pool. You know, that's my window. That's, you know, I'm a good pool player. And this other guy, I'm losing my hair. I'm fat. All right. But some girl sees me play bass guitar, boom, I got a shot. I'm a great, great guitar player. And this guy, I still get out in the bars, you know. Girlies keep getting younger, I'm getting older. It's not happening some nights. It's when I bring out old Pukey. Oh, boy, I've had this bad boy. Oh, I would say since Predator 2 came out, if I had to put a date on it. But, bring this thing out, play it like Dizzy Gillespie, boy. That old Pukey's put a lot of backs on mattresses. That's all I'm saying. Put a lot of backs on mattresses. Me and Pukey. Butch and Sundance, huh? Going out to... I don't know why he's talking to his mom.
Madam, I know you find me physically repulsive, and if you were to walk away and never look back, I would never blame you. But please, one last time, let me vomit for you. Let me buy an egg salad sandwich from this 7-Eleven. Leave it on the dashboard of this car in this hot parking lot. Wolf it down 4 hours later. Don a fur coat and do squat thrusts on the punishing asphalt. And only after I've sent the contents of my stomach rocketing into this bag, if you can look at me and feel no love, you may leave the island of Cordoba. Please let me vomit for you.
I gotta travel a lot when I'm doing stand-up, and I was on a flight one time, and I had a little bit of a runny nose. And so I went like this. All of a sudden, the guy next to me goes, hey, man, you gonna blow your nose or am I gonna have to listen to you have the sniffles for 6 fucking hours? And I was stunned for 2 reasons. One, I couldn't believe he'd be so rude to a total stranger. And two, I'd never heard the word sniffles and fucking in the same sentence together before.
Just a month ago, I came back from a trip. I performed in New Zealand, Australia, and Ireland. And I'll tell you this. To fly to New Zealand by plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from the Twin Cities, 19. And if you have that opportunity, fuck it. I mean, I fly all the time, and 6 hours on a plane is like a lot, and 19 is wrong. And they distract you. They feed you, and then they feed you some more, and then they feed you, give me a dessert, give me a dessert, give me a dessert. I'll have your dessert, you prick, give me that dessert. I'll have a Bloody Mary, yeah, give me a whiskey sour, yeah, fucking yeah, give me whatever you got. Just more liquor, more liquor, more liquor. And then when you're done, there's still 16 hours to go. If you want to know what it's like, you can experience going to New Zealand. It's very simple. Sit in a chair for 19 hours and take your hands and press your head as hard as you can. And don't stop. Don't stop! 19 hours, just like this. And then at the end of 19 hours, you pull your hands off and you feel like you're in New Zealand. You certainly won't feel like you're home. They say that New Zealand's beautiful, and I don't know, because by the time I got over the jet lag, I fucking had to go. And it seems to me, if you're going to travel for 19 hours to another country, when you get there, they should have the common courtesy to speak another language. I did not fly all this way to hear English again. Speak gibberish. Speak pig Latin, you fuck. And if they really wanted to be a part of the community, I think they should jump off their island and push it closer. They should show an interest. Everybody says New Zealand's beautiful. And nobody really knows, because after 19 hours on a plane, anything's fucking beautiful. It could have been an ice floe out there with two penguins blowing each other. And I'd have been happy to land and perform for them.
Now, in addition to my vodka ad, I also played Las Vegas for the first time. Listen, I'm not a gambler. You should know that about me, too. I went to the racetrack once in my life, and I bet on a horse called Battle Gun. And all the horses come out, and mine is the only horse in the race with training wheels. No? And you have to believe me when I tell you this. There is something seductive about me when I shoot crap. And I'm at the crap table, and I'm dicing. And a very provocative woman comes up to me, and she begins to size me up. And I take her upstairs to my hotel room, shut the door, remove my glasses, show her no mercy. And I unbutton my shirt, and she unbuttons her shirt. And I smile, and she smiles. I remove my shirt. And she removes her shirt. And I wink. And she winks. And I remove my pants. And she removes her pants. And I realize I'm looking into a mirror.
Do I look all right? He pounds around like that. But anyway, as I was saying, we're basically into the intellectual scene up here, and that's why we're not into that kind of entertaining, huh? Hey. And it is an intellectual town. I enjoy coming here. Like, for example, see, things are always happening to me up here that are just so above everything else. Like, before the show, I was standing backstage and a couple came back and they asked me if I was bi. And, well, I studied a little Spanish in high school, but not enough to really be bi, you know, but I didn't want to look stupid, so I said, yeah, I'm bi. And they said, well, we would like you to come over after the show because we got some S&M people coming over. And I said, hey, great, Spaniards and Mexicans. So it'll be interesting to go there after the show, speak a little Spanish, and have the intellectual thing. Now, this is what I'm into. So.
I want to learn how to speak Spanish. That's the shit. You know what I'll really learn how to speak? I'd like to learn how to speak French, because that's some cool shit, French. You can say I got a shit in French if it sounds good.
What does it mean? What does it poo-poo?
Oh, oh. Just sound good, man. I don't like that shit, that Arabic that the motherfuckers be speaking in the 7-Eleven. That shit fuck with me. Sound nasty and shit. We're getting all this. That's a word in Arabic. That means some shit to them. They be walking out to you. Can I have a ham and cheese hero? Never mind, man. I don't want no hocking on my bread, motherfucker. That's right. Spanish, the language. You know, I want to learn how to speak Spanish, but I was always a Ricky Ricardo buff. I thought when he would get mad at Lucy and be saying, curse it, I'd say, go on, Ricky, curse the bitch out. Ricky would lose his mind. Ricky was cool and shit. For the 50s, Desi Arnaz, Ricky Ricardo was a cool motherfucker. He had his baggies on and pointy shoes and the club Babaloo and shit. My heart's on the carriage. He's for hire. Señora. For yes, as long as you desire, senorita, we're gonna ride Bukit de Mañana and come to Havana with me. And my Cuban cat. Remember that shit? You be sitting there like this. He had a cool ass laugh too. I would like him to go, so ridiculous. Hey, Fred, how would you like to fuck me up the ass?
Puerto Rican voices was another thing that attracted my ear, because I was into, you know, listening to sounds and imitating them. I was a mimic. That was part of being class clown, making fun of all the people around you. And did the priest, did the cops, of course. The cops in New York all had the same voice, the data, you know, generation voice I was talking about. And they have set things that they say at certain times. If a guy has a heart attack in the street.
Okay, come on, the show's over. Let's go. Come on, man, the show's over.
Always call you Johnny. Come on, get out the corner here, Johnny. Never Bud or Mac. Come on, Johnny, let's go. Move along. Come on. For Christ's sakes, you're on the corner. Will you just get out the corner? Come on, Johnny. Even your mother.
I'm his mother.
Never mind, Johnny. Get off the corner here. Christ's sake, she's around the corner. Thin guys. You never said pho. Thin guys. When you get off the corner, thin guys. Puerto Rican, on the other hand, they were speaking a different language. Puerto Ricans talk faster than any Spanish subgroup, I think. And it sounded like music to me. You know, it was just so pretty, really, like a flute solo, man. I love it. Even if I didn't know what they meant. And I would bend my ear to hear when I could. Loved it in the subway or a bus when there'd be three Puerto Rican conversations going on at the same time in different pitches and registers. I think it was the Latin that pulled me. It sounded a little like the Latin, you know, that good old Catholic was in there working. And I was hooked, man. Got a hypnotic effect, doesn't it? Used to make fun of songs in church. Didn't you make fun of hymns and sacred songs and stuff when you could change the words around? Sleep in Heavenly Peace, I know, went through a lot of changes all over the country. Oh, Come All You Faithful was the only song ever to successfully combine sex and religion that I could discover anyway. Look, it sounds like a good revival experience, good mass orgasm. Oh, come on, you baby. Yeah, get it going. Pretty song. They call it a Deste Fidelis to cool you out when you're in puberty. I used to listen to the Yankee games in Puerto Rican just to hear the tongue, because, I mean, who cared about the Yankees, really? We were a National League neighborhood. In Puerto Rican, who cared what the game was, right? It sounded so good. And you could follow it because you knew the ball players' names, and they'd give those. And if you can count to three, you can follow baseball in those tres. You got it, man. Dos y dos, that's the count. Two and two, and you're home free. And you can follow the emotion of the announcer, right? Cuánta nave sin caló. Cuánta nave sin caló. Paren, paró. Para va a ser in. Pepsi Cola. It's part of the fun listening to Spanish stations, waiting for the words that they have to say in English. Television girl, I'm on Broadway.
I am from Indiana, and I know what most of you are thinking. Indiana, mafia. But where I grew up, there was something very similar to the mafia, 4-H. You didn't mess with 4-H unless you want to wake up with a cow head in your bed. Oh, that's corny. It's a different kind of pride where I'm from, you know? It's not like other states, you know? Like, we're from New York, we're tough, or we're from Texas, we like things big. It's more like, we're from Indiana, and we're gonna move. We're getting out of here, yeah. It's fun being on the coast, telling people you're from the Midwest. Cause people are kind of nice, but they're condescending. They're always like, you're from where, Indiana? Oh, well, welcome, this is electricity. And that's a stool. I'll go and get you some writing paper. That's weird. At least I don't lie about where I'm from. I love when people do that. I was like, hey, where are you from? Chicago. Oh, really? Where in Chicago? Outside Chicago. Oh, where outside Chicago? Milwaukee. Oh, really? I'm from the future. Nice to meet you. Indiana's not a big tourist destination. Yeah, but a lot of people have driven through there. So occasionally after a show, someone will be like, hey, you're from Indiana? I drove through Indiana once. I never know what to say. I remember you. You were a very good driver. I just stay in between those lines. Was it voodoo? Whenever I go back home, my brothers and sisters all think I've changed so much. So I was like, oh, well, welcome home, Mr. New York City. What's that you're wearing, Mr. New York? It's a belt. Yeah, I got six of them. That was silly. Some of his jokes were silly.
But I never got to do black voices on television. That's what bothered me a little bit. You know, you can do your own group. Myron Cohen can do Jewish guys, and Pat Cooper can do Italians, and blacks can do blacks, and you can do your own group. But crossing over, it's not so good. You know, they want to hear it. They're afraid of letters. Say, I never got to do something says from the street, man. What's happening? Ain't nothing to it. I'll be here for a while, man. You see that motherfucker, you tell me to come back here, man, because I'm going to be here, you understand? That's some bullshit, too, man. More or less, you understand? Okay. Hey, you tell him that shit now. Never got, no, guys were always on me. Black guys were always bugging me about my ass because I got no ass, you know? Kind of a straight line from the shoulder to the heels. And black race has a more pronounced ass anyway than, you know, a regular. You've seen that in National Geographic. I noticed it in the service, man. It's true, man. It's just anthropologists will tell you that, you know, if you can wake them up at the party, man, and get their attention. It's true, but at any rate, I was always getting kidded about it because there are three kinds of asses, basically. I've numbered them, 1, 2, and C. I was never very good at indexing, but the first one's the fat ass, which you all know, you can't miss it. Even in the winter in a tweed overcoat at the bus stop, you can see, look at the guy in that tweed overcoat and the fat ass over at the bus stop there. Then there's the regular ass, the everyday normal, garden variety, all-American, run-of-the-mill, you've seen one, you've seen them all ass, just regular ass. And then we have the unfortunates, my group, no ass at all. Just, you wear a fat wallet and three handkerchiefs, right? Yeah, you walk out, black guys used to be on me, man. Say, man, where your ass at? My man ain't got no ass, man. Shit, how you holding them pants up, man? Stud got no ass, man. Shit.
People talk a lot different in different parts of the country. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, just here recently.
Now, I wasn't there but 8 days, but here's some of the things that I picked up. Now, FO, that means less than five. See, HO, H-O, that's a bad girl. And PO, P-O, that's poverty struck. PO. And SO, that's like when you get your head whipped. You get SO. And WOE, that's like when your shoes is wore out. And FLOW, F-L-O, FLOW, that's what you stand on. And CHO, that's when you got a job to do. You got to do that CHO, C-H-O. And RO, R-O, that's the sound a lion makes. Roar. Roar, lion. And show, S-H-O, that's the edge of a lake. And smoke, that's like another heppin. Give me a smoke.
Italian voices I never heard much in my neighborhood till I went to high school downtown, when you go to another neighborhood for high school. And Italian street guys, if
these here were the Irish street guys,
the Italian street guy was this guy here. Hey, what, hey, Sfaccin. Hey, why is this guy is jerking me off here, huh? Who is this scumbag? This scumbag is jerking me off. Scumbag.
They always made the distinction, too. Scumbag was a guy, douchebag was a girl, and they always made it. All right? Those who know will attest.
Hey, this scumbag, last night he was out, he picked up two douchebags. He didn't call me up, man. Two douchebags.
They always adhered to that. I loved that kind of purism, man. Good street, earthy talk, man. Food was always involved in Italian slang, too, because Italians are into food and the oral situation, and, singing, sure, opera and eating, man, and kissing and all that, sure, man, it's all oral. And food shows up in their street lingo, like for money, a very important thing in any culture, right? Money is bananas. Bananas or clams. Hey, you got three clams. Hey, give me, hey, you got half a banana. You change up a banana. Three clams to get in. This guy had an arm like a fucking eggplant. Huh? Like an eggplant.
I'm moving a little slow tonight. I had a hot pocket for dinner. Never really see that on a menu when you go out, do you? See, I will have the Caesar salad and the hot pocket. Today's specials, we have a sea bass, which is broiled, and we have a hot pocket, which is cooked in a dirty microwave, and that comes with a side of Metamucil. Is your hot pocket cold in the middle? It's frozen. Oh, I love the Hot Pocket. I buy Hot Pockets, too. I go in grocery stores. I'm like, hey, I get these. I've never eaten a Hot Pocket, and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. And I was like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts. Ow. I was looking at a box of Hot Pockets. They have a warning printed on the side. It said, warning, you just bought Hot Pockets. Hope you're drunk or heading home to a trailer. You hillbilly, enjoy the next NASCAR event. Hot Pocket. He's a dick. I like NASCAR. Hot Pocket. Sounds like a sexual disorder, doesn't it? Oh, look, Bobby, sometimes when fellas don't go on dates, they do what we call a hot pocket. Doesn't mean you're bad, it just means you need a girlfriend. Hot pocket. Hot pockets haven't been around that long, like 10 years. How'd they come up with it? Was there some guy in a marketing meeting like, hey, how about a Pop-Tart filled with really nasty meat? Johnson, that's gross. Get to work on it. They do have the vegetarian hot pocket for those of us that don't want to eat meat but still would like diarrhea. Hot pocket! It should just come with a roll of toilet paper. Diarrhea pocket! You ever notice there's no dignified way to buy toilet paper? You always have to buy in that multi-pack, like 12 rolls. So get in your cart, everyone's in the store's like, does that guy ever leave the bathroom? Is he living off of Hot Pockets? Hot Pocket! Recently, they introduced the breakfast Hot Pocket. Finally. I can't think of a better way to start the day. Good morning! You're about to call in sick. Hot Pocket! You can have a Hot Pocket for breakfast, a Hot Pocket for lunch, and be dead by dinner. Dead Pocket. I wish he'd stop saying Hot Pocket. I love that jingle. You think they worked hard on that song? What do you got so far, Bill? Hot Pocket.
That's good. Very good. What are we going to run in Mexico?
The Caliente Pocket.
You've got a gift, my friend. Don't hide that in a bushel basket.
What does a bushel basket have to do with any of it? Hot Pocket! He looked like he should switch to the lean pockets. Half the calories, all the diarrhea. Hot Pocket! I saw a commercial for a chicken pot pie Hot Pocket. Now they're just fucking with us. It's just a matter of time. Have you tried the Hot Pocket Hot Pocket? The Hot Pocket filled with a Hot Pocket. Tastes just like a Hot Pocket. I'm going to go and stick my head in the microwave. Hot Pocket! He's not even saying Hot Pocket anymore. Hot Pocket! Happy Year! What? Hot Pocket! I can't wait till they take a Hot Pocket and they fill it with a steak-em. Just call it murder. Just smell it and you pass out. Steak'em pocket. Anybody have a steak'em today? Nah, you wouldn't be here, would you? Steak'em pocket. It's a great name for a product. Is it steak? Steak'em. I wouldn't call it steak. Oh, what's it made of? I'm not supposed to tell anyone. Why don't you leave me alone? He went crazy up there. It was very awkward. Hot Pocket.
Come inside my mind and see what it's like when a comedian eats the big one. Come on in.
I'm doing brilliant. I'm improvising like crazy. No, you're not, you fool. You're just doing pee-pee caca, no substance. You're not talking about any truth, no realities. Why don't you change the nature of man instead of just talking about drugs and people passing out? Help the world!
Shut up, both of you. I'm the rational mind. We'll have to release the subconscious. He'll be the arbitrator. Not tonight.
Page intellect. Page and intellect. Sequence 2B. Amrek phase in. Ego check.
Too late. Sequence phasing in now. Killer routine. 1B. Phase in now.
These two goys walk into a bar.
Early. Positive response. Go to killer routine. B. Phasing in now. Ego check again. Hey, I'm fantastic. Too late. Phasing in now. Moving in.
Where are you from?
Early warning signals. Go to secondary routine now. Anything goes. Try dynamite drug routine. 1B. Killer response. Tragically hip routine. Phasing in now.
How about that Babylonian Tupperware?
Mayday, mayday, mayday. All systems overload. Ego check now.
Help me.
They've seen the movie. Move to secondary response. Secondary response. Memory tape. Playback. But first, Vegas. Pity response. 1B. Try to go up.
Send in the clown.
Not buying the bullshit. Career over. Anything goes. Memory tape. Look for memory tape. Oh, family. Playback now. Phase in now. Miss Williams, I dropped the baby. I don't know why.
Daddy! Daddy!
Lori, let's move. He'll never find us. Father, Father, I want to be an actor. Watch. To be or... Damn. All systems overload. Subconscious fighting its way through. Well, fuck you. What do you want from me anyway?
I do this TV show right now, and, you know, when you promote a TV show you're on, you gotta do a lot of interviews and stuff, and I was doing an interview once, and this guy goes, you must be pretty psyched by all this Slumdog Millionaire stuff. And I was like, yeah, I am. I have no idea why, though. I had nothing to do with that movie. It's just some people that kind of look like me are in this movie that everyone loves and winning Oscars and stuff. And I was like, whoa. Are white people just psyched all the time? It's like, Back to the Future, that's us. Godfather, that's us. Godfather Part 2, that's us. Departed, that's us. Sunset Boulevard, that's us. Citizen Kane, that's us. Jaws, that's us. Every fucking movie but Slumdog Millionaire and Boys in the Hood is us. We are white people. Suck our dicks.
I don't like movies when they don't have no niggas in them. I went to see Logan's Run, right? They had a movie of the future called Logan's Run. Ain't no niggas in it. I said, well, white folks ain't planning for us to be here. That's why we gotta make movies. And we be in the future. But we gotta make some movies, some really hip movies, because pimps, we done made enough movies about pimps because white folks already know about pimping. Because we the biggest holes they got. I'd like to introduce a lady just finished doing the Angela Davis story. She does Shakespeare and stuff. I love when niggas can do just everything. This lady can do just all the shit. She ain't just no poop butt. Bitch bringing Shakespeare. I saw her in King Lear with him. Bitch was talking about that. Shakespeare may have been the greatest, but the motherfucker wrote funny. How thee the thorth I thither? Horth thy thorn and thither follow. The thorth I thorn thy thither. That was her part. The thorn thy thorn thy thither. This is a beautiful lady, Miss Rosalind Cash. Bitch is fine, too. Won't give me no parts of the pussy, man. I have begged for the pussy 7 years. Just please, Rob, just let me smell it or something. Just give me a woof of the pussy or something. You know. Just so I can lie on you or something. You know. I also like to introduce a brother. Brother is a novelist and shit. Writes books, and that part I got right. Motherfucker writes some books. Nigga, hell of a writer, and a good friend, you know, good heart and shit. He wrote The Lies and Loves of Mr. Jive Ass Nigga. That was the book, Honest on the Real Side, Mr. Cecil Brown. Nigga with Rosalind, motherfucker. Nigga got plenty of problem for me. I said, well, did you get to smell it? Nigga won't tell you, keep laughing.
I don't want to hurt you, kid.
I'd like to introduce another friend. You all don't mind me introducing people. You ain't got nothing to do. Because you motherfucker go outside, your car been towed away. I'd like to introduce a lady who could sing her ass off. And she's a really nice person. And beautiful. And has a pretty ass. And a lovely voice. And she's elegant and really represents something beautiful. in womanhood, Miss Natalie Cole. Put the light and shit on, motherfucker. Hey, with the lights. There's a nigga. See, niggas are, now where the bitch at me? Don't be introducing no fakes, motherfucker.
Nigga, you don't even know the lady.
There she is. You's a lying motherfucker. There's a lady that stayed over for the next show that was in the first show who was really beautiful, Miss Minnie Rippleton. Yeah. Minnie Rippleton sang well. Minnie Rippleton once said to me, Dick got hard right away, right? Didn't it? Cause you know if you can fuck a bitch and hit that note, bro, it just fuck you up, don't it? Is it good?
My second favorite Christmas memory of all time happened in Los Angeles. Los Angeles at Christmas time is beautiful. It is beautiful. You know why? Everybody leaves. The city just empties out. There's no traffic. It's quiet. It's like I Am Legend, but you can get a sandwich. It's perfect. It was Christmas Eve, 1996. And what movie had just opened up? Jerry Maguire. Yeah, 1996. My brother and I are drinking at a bar off of Hollywood Boulevard. 8 o'clock rolls around. We are wasted. And my brother goes, hey, we ought to should go see a movie. And I say, capital idea, old sport vomit. So we go down the street to see Jerry Maguire, which was playing at the now closed Galaxy Multiplex, the crappiest theater in L.A. Who wants to see a choppy print of Anaconda in a room full of meth addicts' popcorn farts? Well, come on down to the Galaxy where the glamour of Hollywood gets peed on nightly. So, we see Jerry Maguire's playing. I'm like, I love Cameron Crowe. Matt, let's go see Jerry Maguire. My brother goes, all right. So we go in. It's my brother and I. We're sitting together. And then there's 8 other people all by themselves. They're alone on Christmas Eve. And maybe they were thinking, I'll go see this Tom Cruise movie. Get a little glimmer of hope. A little beacon of optimism for the new year. Who knows? So we're watching the movie. I kind of liked it. No, I thought it was pretty good. I liked that movie. My brother, unbeknownst to me, fucking hated it. And I mean, he is sitting there grinding his molars, didn't make a peep, just sat there, this piece of shit, just didn't say anything to the very end of the movie. There's that final scene when Tom Cruise comes running back to Renee Zellweger. Remember that? He gives that whole beautiful speech about, I wanted to be my wife and I love you and all this thing. And then she goes, you had me at hello. And it's really, now, watch the scene again. In the middle of Tom Cruise's speech, there's this sudden dramatic pull into his face. And there's tears in his eyes, and he says, we live in a cynical world. And that's when my brother went, fuck you! At the top of his, oh my God! Oh my God! Which, that is such a, it was such a horrible, rude thing to yell. And I was laughing so hard. I could not get the air in to make the sound of laughter. People ask me, what is your favorite comedy of all time? Jerry Maguire, when my brother yells, fuck you at Tom Cruise. It is a 90-minute setup to one punchline. It's like not jerking off for 10 years and then painting the garage. Oh my God, I'm seeing dead kings.
I was in Vancouver in Canada, in what I was told was the poorest neighborhood in North America, which I found very hard to believe, because has anyone here ever been to Detroit? Detroit has bears returning to the city. It has bears on the outskirts, like, coming into, like, abandoned warehouses. When bears start, gentrifying a city and opening Thai restaurants, that is a very poor city. Does anybody here know what to do if a bear attacks?
Play dead.
Play dead. That's a popular one. Any other? Punch him in the nose. Play dead. Punch a bear in the nose. That's a good idea. If you're Batman. Yeah, if you're Wolverine, snickety snick, chop, chop, chop. May I recommend not punching a bear in the nose? Unless you can take that bear down. Yeah, jump on its neck and break it. Call it a douchebag. Run downhill, yeah. No, I meant to ask if a bear attacks you in San Francisco. But I misphrased it. Yeah, run downhill. Get big. The bear's gonna go like, holy shit. That is a giant little girl. Look at the way she's raising her whatever they are. I don't understand language. Any other theories? Hypnotize it. That actually is what I was looking for. You should hypnotize the bear. You should get the bear to quit smoking. You should be like, lose weight. Yeah. Yeah, because one of the things that's shitty about a bear, you can't fuck a fat bear. You're like, lose some weight, bear. Then text me when you're drunk. Don't text me before. Anyway. Most people do think you're supposed to play dead, which is not true. You're not supposed to play dead. Playing dead is like a rumor that bears spread. I don't know how they did it, since they have no access to propaganda. Wait, what? What if I was admitting that? I have, but there are bears. There are some in East Lansing. You think there are no bears in streets and houses in Michigan? Okay, no more than Michigan than Illinois. Do you know how many bears are in houses in other places? None. Because bears don't rent. There are definitely bears in urban areas. You do not agree. Well, I can't believe that the internet would have lied to me. But I also do believe that I'm right. They're not opening Thai restaurants. I was kidding about that. They don't actually have any entrepreneurial skills. That I will admit that that is false. That I was being hyperbolic. But I will say this. They are opening camera shops. That is literally true.
Now let's talk about the differences between frogs and bears. Like when there's a frog around, I don't have to hang my fucking sandwiches from a branch. A frog knows they are for me. He'd rather have a fly. Because a fly zigzags. And my sandwiches do not. Unless I go like this. If I want some honey on some toast, I don't have to squeeze a plastic frog. Alcoholism is a disease, but it's the only disease that you can get yelled at for having. God damn it, Otto, you're an alcoholic. God damn it, Otto, you have lupus. One of those two doesn't sound right. If you have to release bad news to the public, it will help if you are not ugly. I have a loose neck shirt because my neck's fragile. I can't wear a regular shirt. It hurts. I especially hate turtlenecks. I wear a turtleneck, it's like being strangled by a really weak guy. All fucking day. If you wear a turtleneck in a backpack, it's like a weak midget trying to bring you down. Sisters, and one of them named Wendy. If you asked Wendy if I was weird, she'd probably say yeah, but that's fucked up because she's weird because she has a husband and two children, and they have a family photo on top of their VCR where they're all looking slightly to the left as though something is going on over there. The camera is right in front of you, but I guess something happened to the left that made everybody happy. So my sister is cross-eyed, so she can't quite pull it off. One eye is right the fuck on.
What did the very busy New York squirrel say to the non-caring postal worker?
You've been great. Really, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by. Like a thing, thank you, 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 thank you. What time does TV go off? I can't be doing this seriously. I've got a show to do a little later, so I've got to get rambling, and you've been great, and you know, you've got to laugh once a day, and that's why I feel proud to be up here as a semi-professional comedian, providing laughs in this way. Laugh once a day, because a day without sunshine is like night. I guess I'll get going now, and I would like to remind you of something the great Maharishi Guru taught me over 15 years ago. Maharishi was a close personal friend of mine, and I studied with him for 15 long, long, boring years. I didn't really learn that much the day I was leaving. The Maharishi said something to me I've never forgotten. Whenever there's a crowd of people like this, I always like to pass it on, because I'll bet a day hasn't gone by that I haven't thought of this particular thing. The Maharishi said, always, wait, it was never, always take a litter bag in your car. It doesn't take up much room. If it gets full, you can just toss it out. Thank you very much. Good night. Thank you.
Everything is on.
Everything is on. Everything is on. .com.
Indeed.
Culture Data 2012.
Goodbye.